You had me at the microphone inside the bouquet.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Bill Radke. California's state government has struck a deal. CIT Group has made its deal official. I'll tell you about all that in a moment. But first, wouldn't you rather hear about an alleged spy scandal? Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, is here. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Bill.
This case involves Germany's biggest lender, Deutsche Bank. Who is accused of spying on whom, and Stephen, why?
There are four incidents, so we should just confine ourselves to two of them because they appear to be related. It's claimed that the bank spied on a couple of severe critics of the bank, a shareholder who'd been very uncomplimentary about the bank, and it's alleged they also spied on a media tycoon who'd also been very critical of the bank. The bank apparently was trying to find out whether these two were in cahoots with each other, whether there was a kind of conspiracy against Deutsche Bank.
And how did the bank allegedly snoop on them?
We don't know the precise details, although it's alleged that the bank's security department tried to bug the chief operating officer to check out whether he had adequate security measures in place. And on one occasion, they sent flowers to his home with a microphone hidden inside to see whether he'd notice it.
And do we know whether the noticing happened?
I think he did, and I think that's how this began to blow up.
I see. Now, I have to say, at a remove, Stephen, this can sound a little bit comical. I imagine, though, especially the German public might not find spying cases very humorous.
No, the issue of corporate snooping causes particular revulsion in Germany. After the collapse of the Berlin Wall, the full extent to which the East German government had been spying on its citizens has caused widespread disgust in Germany. So this is being taken very seriously, and indeed the federal prosecutors have now entered the case and are investigating whether the law has been broken.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
In that other news, California legislative leaders have agreed with their governor on a plan to close the state's $26 billion budget shortfall. The plan includes billions in painful cuts, plus borrowing, sped-up tax collection, and some accounting maneuvers, shifting money from other government accounts. State Assembly Speaker Karen Bass was upbeat about the whole thing.
People are going to feel pain in a lot of different areas, but I think that the pro tem and myself feel that we protected what was most important for Californians, certainly education, transportation, and health and human services.
This could mean the end of those IOUs California's had to issue this month. However, the agreement still has to pass the state's House and Senate. And last night, CIT Group finally announced its emergency financing deal so it can keep lending to thousands of small and mid-sized businesses. Stock investors have been cheered by the CIT survival, as well as U.S. corporate earnings and some decent economic data. Major European markets are up almost 1%. Asian markets were flat today, except in Tokyo, where prices jumped after yesterday's Japanese holiday. Wall Street was jumping yesterday, too. The Dow added 104 points and closed at 8,848. However, this morning, DuPont, the chemical maker, weighs in and says earnings dropped 61% in the second quarter on lower sales volumes and some restructuring charges. And later today, investors will look for more clues to an eventual end of the recession when Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke delivers his testimony to Congress. This is his semiannual update on the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
You know, I do my little part for the environment. I compost my office's coffee grounds and turn off lights and stuff. Maybe you do the same thing. But my next guest would like to see individuals doing what the global players do, trading carbon credits. Tom Riley is CEO of a new company called My Emissions Exchange. He hopes to one day broker the sale of household electricity reductions. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
I think of carbon credits as something giant companies and countries can trade. What do carbon credits have to do with little old me?
Well, the reason you think that is because today that is exactly what carbon credits are focusing on, only the industrial sector. My Emissions Exchange has created a personal carbon credit that focuses on the consumer, you and me. You go to My Emissions Exchange and you upload your utility bill. And if you show from month to month on each year basis that you reduce your actual utility consumption, we take those verifiable credits, they're measured, and we bring those to the carbon market, and we act as brokers, and we put you in touch with the market out there.
I understand my minimum carbon credit is 1 metric ton. What have I got to do in my home to save a metric ton of carbon?
There's a lot of things we can do without changing anything in our quality of life. All you have to really do is look at your phantom energy, your power strip usage. You have to look at, you know, obviously you change into your light bulbs to low energy usage light bulbs, energy saving appliances. You add those things up, you'll have 10% reductions very soon.
How much money is my carbon credit worth?
If you produced a verifiable carbon credit by reducing your emissions, we could take that and probably get between $15 and $20 is our estimate.
And is this a working market, Tom? Or are you getting $15 checks from companies and sending them to individuals yet?
No, we're a new concept and a new company. We've been doing this for all of 3 weeks.
So let me get this straight, Tom. You will make your money brokering trades in a market that doesn't exist. Explain.
Isn't that a bright future? Well, yeah, we believe it. And we're trailblazing something, and we know we're way ahead of the market. People are starting to focus on their personal emissions. There's nothing out there that's financially oriented. There's nothing that's going to incentivize them to continue doing that. And this is so easy. So we have the confidence, but we're not being naive. We know it's going to take some time to catch on, like any environmental project.
Tom Riley is CEO of My Emissions Exchange. Tom, thank you and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
We always like to hear about your bright ideas for caring for the environment and your finances. Let us know what you're doing these days when you visit us online at marketplace.org. Click on the link that says Contact. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.